This morning we continue our series on Turning Point, and this morning we're looking at Stairway to Heaven. We are in the story of Jacob, who is on the run, and we are in Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 22. We are going to pick it up in verse 5, but just to sort of set a little bit of the landscape here, Jacob and Esau have had a huge conflict, and Isaac is sending Jacob off to his uncle's place to get out of town and away from Esau, and so we pick up the reading there. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Arminian, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I will take me this food and give me clothes to wear, so that I may return to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, this morning we're looking at Stairway to Heaven. I love the story of this little boy who was out playing in his front yard, and this man came walking along the road and seemed rather frustrated, and he walked up to the boy and said, excuse me, son, I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to the post office? And the little boy said, sure, just go down to the corner stop sign, turn left, go down to the next corner, and it's on your right. And the man said, well, thank you. He said, by the way, I'm the new pastor in town, and if you come to church on Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. Little boy thought for a moment. He said, no thanks, you don't even know how to get to the post office. Have you ever felt lost in life? Have you ever lost your way along the journey? And maybe you've even been like Jacob, where you feel like you're at wit's end and you feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Well, if you have been in that chapter or even in that chapter now, then I think there's some great spiritual lessons in this story this morning, and so I invite you to walk back into the story. And so the backdrop of this story is this, that Isaac and Rebekah, of course, one of the great love stories in all the Bible, had twins, and they were Jacob and Esau, became their names, but the story is told that they were struggling with each other even in the womb. You know, sometimes siblings don't get along, and so it was even in the womb, and then the prophecy is given that, you know, the greatest would go to the eldest, but in this case it would be the younger, but they were struggling, and it turns out that Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was born after. Now, Jacob struggled all along. Have you known people to just struggle with themselves and God's will in their life? And so, at that time, the eldest got the lion's share of the inheritance, so Jacob always wanted that. And so we're told that these two couldn't have been more different. There was Esau, who we're told was sort of the dark, swarthy, hairy one who liked to go hunting, sort of the Ducks Dynasty guy. And then there was Jacob, who was the fairer complected, and he enjoyed gardening and cooking, and he was sort of the Emeril type. As it turned out, Isaac took a liking to Esau and Rebekah to Jacob. You know, it's never good when parents sort of pick their favorites, right? In this case, it was all the worse. Well, we're told that one day that Esau came in from the woods from hunting. He was famished, and Jacob was cooking this incredible stew, and Esau said, listen, I'll give you anything for a bowl of that stew. And Jacob, the sort of manipulator at this moment, said, sure, I will give you a cup of this stew for your inheritance of the oldest son. Well, foolishly, Esau said, sure, and Jacob gave him the stew and got the inheritance by agreement. And of course, there was bitterness between the two after that. Well, then Isaac is now up in years, and he wants to give a special blessing to Esau, who got cheated out of this blessing. And so he tells him to go out into the woods and to find this special game that's his favorite and to bring it, and Rebekah would prepare it for him, and then he, after eating, would give this blessing. And so Esau goes out to the woods. Meanwhile, Rebekah has been listening by the side of the tent and hears this conversation, wants that blessing to go to her favorite son, which happens to be Jacob. So she tells Jacob, listen, go kill a goat, and I'll prepare it in a special way with special seasonings that'll make it taste like wild game. I don't know if it was venison or what it was, but in any case, Jacob says, sure, and she says, then your father will give you the blessing. Now, at this time, Jacob, we believe, was next to blind. And so Jacob says, sure, he can't see very well, but my brother's voice is deep and husky, and he's really hairy. He's going to touch my arms and know that I'm not him. And Rebekah says, listen, I'm gonna put some hair of that goat on your arms. I don't know if she's going to Velcro it or glue it or what. And then speak in a deep voice, right? And he won't know. So Jacob says, okay. And so he takes in this meal to his father, and his father eats the meal and then blesses Jacob. And no sooner has Isaac blessed Jacob when Esau comes in from the field and realizes what had happened, and this incredible enmity broke out between the two. Isaac sees what's about to happen, and so he tells Jacob he needs to flee, and he tells him he needs to go to this distant land, to the home of his uncle, and to find a bride there, which, you know, that was part of the mission. The other part was just to get out of town, because Esau's going to come after him. And so he gives him a blessing, and Jacob heads out, and we're told that Jacob basically had nothing on his back. So he's manipulated, he's done all these things to get the lion's share of the inheritance, the best blessing from his father, but he leaves home with just the shirt on his back. And isn't that true in our life, too? Sometimes we try to manipulate rather than sort of going and doing what we're supposed to, and we end up, things don't go as planned. And so it is with Jacob. And so we're told that at the end of that first long day, that all that Jacob could do, he was tired, famished, just had the clothes on his back, was he took a stone, and he laid his head on that and used that stone as a pillow. He was literally between a rock and a hard place. You ever been between a rock and a hard place, right? So in the back is Esau, who wants his life, and before him is a land that he doesn't know, and right there on the journey of life, he lays his head on this rock, and he's literally between a rock and a hard place. And I think all of us in some sense are maybe there this morning as we're in the middle of this pandemic, numbers seem to be rising, but we may also find some twists and turns in our life. We may be facing an illness, the loss of a loved one, some financial difficulties or relationship difficulties, and the avenues that we seem to try to work things out only make things worse, and so we too sometimes can be between a rock and a hard place. Well, the most amazing thing happens to Jacob. One of the great visions in all the scripture is that in the middle of the night, Jacob has this vision, this dream of a ladder that goes from his pillow of a rock up to the heavens, and angels are ascending and descending on that ladder. And on top of that ladder, he hears the voice of the Lord saying that God promises him the promise that went to Abraham and Isaac, his father, and that God will indeed bring it to fulfillment, and that the land will be theirs, the promised land, and that his people will be a blessing to everyone on the earth. What a beautiful and powerful blessing. And so it's amazing because the rock is transformed into the stairway to heaven. Now, if you're a classic rock fan, of course, you know that this inspired Led Zeppelin to that great classic rock tune, Stairway to Heaven, right? So, but whether you are or not, it's inspired some beautiful images and paintings and stained glass, because I think it's a powerful moment when we look at that. And the first thing to notice there is that it's interesting because the angels are ascending and descending, we're told. And so there's a sense in which the place where Jacob was that he thought was forlorn, along a deserted pathway of life was really the place of God. The angels were going up and coming down. And so it was also the place where he heard the affirmation of God's blessing. And so Jacob wakes up the next morning and he says, "Truly God was in this place and I was not aware of it." You ever had moments in life where God was there and you really weren't aware of it until things got really desperate? And then he says, "How awesome is this place?" So the stone, the pathway that's distant and forlorn in the middle of nowhere becomes, as he calls it, the house of God, literally. And so he names it Bethel. He takes the stone that he used as the pillow for his head, and he turns it upright, and he anoints it with oil, and he says, a blessing. He says, "God, indeed, if you will see me along this journey of life, if you will be with me and bring me back sometime in the future to my father's house in safety, then I will serve you all my days, and I will always give you a tithe, a tenth of all that I have." And so it is Bethel, the house of God. Let me ask you, what is your rock along life's way? What is your Bethel? What is the place that you thought God wasn't there, where you were between a rock and a hard place, and all of a sudden God gave you a new vision in life, a new dream, a promise that God would be there for you? I think one of the most amazing things as we look at this is that when we look at our own lives, sometimes we realize that God can take our stone and turn it into a staircase, into a vision, into a dream. And so sometimes we have tried to manipulate our life and circumstances, maybe through the best motivations or maybe through the worst, but we're trying to get our own way. But we find out when we do that, that we are just destitute. We're between a rock and a hard place, and we come to a place where we basically surrender. We give up. I mean, I think God had to get Jacob to the place where Jacob was willing to just say, "Okay, I don't know what else to do." And God was able to move into his heart and life in that moment in a brand new way. Now, I want to say this, that even though God gave Jacob this vision, this dream, this special moment and promise, it did not mean that his life would be easy. In fact, his life was going to be rather difficult in the next chapters before him. But God's promise would come true. The promise would be fulfilled. God's presence would be with him along the journey of life, and God would bring him back and even bring reconciliation. And I think in our own way, then we do find ourselves in this between a rock and a hard place, and God gives us a fresh dream and a fresh vision for life. It doesn't mean that it'll just come about easily. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. Sometimes it takes us going through hill and valley, but God has promised that God will see us through. You know, there's lots of places in Scripture other than this moment with Jacob where people were caught between a rock and a hard place, and God came in a miraculous way. I think, first of all, of David when he was just a teenager. Remember that moment when Saul and the armies, including David's older brothers, were lined up on the one hillside facing the Philistines on the other, and the Philistines had sent out their great giant, their great warrior, to do a one-on-one battle with the Israelites for their best warrior, and that would decide the battle. And everyone was afraid in Saul's camp and Saul's army, and David comes and says, "I'll face the giant." And so David was too small for the armor and too small for the sword, so he took all that he had, which was a slingshot, and he went out to the creek and took the stones there and put a stone in the slingshot, and before him was Goliath the giant. David literally was, again, between a rock and a hard place, and he had to trust God, but in that moment, God miraculously was there, and David was able to slay the giant. And I think in our own life, if we're willing to do what we can, if we're willing, when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, to do probably the only thing that's left, which is just to trust God, we'll find that God will show up. I remember a friend of mine saying that, he says, "You know, you really haven't lived until you've been to that place in life where if God doesn't show up, everything's lost." Now, that's not something that I would wish on anyone, but haven't you had a moment or two in life where if God didn't show up, everything's lost? And I think the good news of this scripture for all of us is when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, know that oftentimes that's the moment that God is waiting so that we surrender and faith and trust to God, and God will show up with a staircase to heaven. God will show up with a new vision, a new dream, a new promise, assuring us that he'll see us through. True story that I love that's modern day is the story of Anne Lamott. I don't know if you're a fan of Anne Lamott, the author, but she recounts in the story about herself where she was at a point in her life where she was very close to her father and lost her father early in life in her early 20s. And so it sent her into this spiral of depression and abusing drugs and alcohol, and she became addicted, and she really just felt like her life was so hopeless that she even contemplated suicide. And she recalls one night in bed when all the lights were out and the room was dark that she became aware of this presence in the room with her in the corner. And after a while, she began to feel that presence was Jesus. And so she yelled into the corner at this presence, "Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you." And she began to think of what her friends would say if they knew that she had some kind of religious experience or was a follower of Christ. So she became aware that after a while, the presence was gone. But as she began to live through the next days and weeks ahead, she began to see little God moments in her life. She saw God kind of in the sunrise and in the sunset. And she saw God in the smile of a baby. And she swears she even saw God driving a yellow Pinto that stopped for her to carry her groceries across the street. And she says at one point she just finally was at wit's end, literally between a rock and a hard place. And she said, "Okay, Jesus, I'm yours." And in that moment, the Lord touched her heart and life in a life-changing moment where her addiction for drugs and alcohol was gone. She still had struggles ahead of her. And there was a new faith, a new life, a new promise, a new dream in her life. And so her life began to change in amazing ways. And so she decided she was going to go to church on Sunday morning. So she picked this small church. She wasn't sure how the church would accept her. She didn't look like they did, she knew. And she walked in and she found that even though they were a small group of believers, they were very warm and welcoming to her. And so they began to bless her. They encouraged her along the way, and she found a little Bible study. And that group of Christians celebrated her first year of recovery. And then down the road, they celebrated the birth of her baby. And her faith began to grow. And of course, she not only has a great ministry today, but she's written a number of books that have influenced countless people's lives. But that turning point was a moment in her life where she thought it was the darkest, bleakest, hardest moment of her life, the rock and the hard place. I think God is still taking stones and making them into staircase. And so this morning, if you feel like you are on the road of life and you don't know where you're going, you feel lost, you've struggled, tried to make things your own way, and you have nothing to do but to lay your weary head on a stone for a pillow, take heart. God can often take the stone and turn it into a staircase, even as he did with Jacob, even as he did with Anne Lamott, even as he did with young David. So I encourage us, as we are this morning along the journey of life, to be encouraged by that word. And if you know someone who's laying their head on a pillow of a rock this morning, whatever it is, then give them a word of encouragement. God does indeed meet us along the road of life. And many times when we are stuck between a rock and a hard place, God shows up with a stairway to heaven. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, this morning we think about Jacob in this turning point in his life where he was destitute. He was on the way to a place that he didn't really even know of, and behind him lay the things that meant the most. But you met him along the road of life as he lay his head on a rock, as he was caught between a rock and a hard place. You turned the stone into a staircase to heaven. You gave him a fresh vision, a fresh dream, and you gave him a promise. So we pray you'll do the same in our lives, knowing that you are faithful. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.